Chapter 85. This, That, and the Other. The hansom came while I was still raising the flag, and Sidney Grice groaned when he spotted the driver.
"Grosvenor Square,"
Mr. G bellowed, with enough volume to rouse an army.
"Grow what where?"
Old Peter cupped his ear, and I repeated the name.
"Grosvenor Square is, miss."
Old Peter pulled his string to release the flap.
"I said it more clearly than you."
My godfather grumbled as I tugged on a wisp of loose stuffing that was sticking through a rip in the upholstery. "Yes." The wisp was longer than I expected and getting thicker. "But your lips move differently from those of other men." And that seemed to satisfy my guardian, for Sidney Grice hated to be thought the same as others. It reeked of equality to him, and when I sneaked a sideways look, I caught him mouthing the words proudly. I had about half of a horse's hair now. "If this man is the one we are looking for..." I tried to push the stuffing back in, but it had expanded. "Why would he go out of his way to draw attention to himself?" Sidney Grice pushed harder, though it was him, not me, who was taking 2/3 of the seat.
"Perhaps you would care to attempt to answer that question yourself."
"To taunt you?" I poked the stuffing with my finger. It did not seem possible that so much had come through such a little slit.
"Try again."
"I am trying." I got out my pencil to ram the thick wad down, and the leather bowed under the pressure, but none of the stuffing went back in.
"I was referring to your answering your own question."
"Inspector Pound told me that some habitual criminals are so sick of their own acts that they are relieved when they are apprehended, even if they face the severest penalties. Perhaps he wants to get caught." I had a nasty feeling that the rip was getting bigger.
"Some do," Mr. G agreed, "but not this one. Try harder."
I racked my brains. "I cannot." My godfather pulled the cork out of his flask.
"It would be odd indeed if he had not drawn attention to himself. A street tradesman who hides in the shadows would have aroused suspicions immediately. Local residents would probably have reported him for loitering."
"But why is he hanging around outside Lucy's house?" Sidney Grice grimaced.
"Let us hope that we get an opportunity to ask him."
He banged on the roof and, when the hatch opened, shouted,
"Faster!"
and mimed holding the reins of a galloping steed.
"Oh, sorry, Gov. Going too fast for you."
The hatch closed and we slowed to a gentle walk. In the end it made no difference, for a hot air balloon had come down in Maddox Street, blocking the road, attracting a curious crowd, and frightening the horses. And when we finally arrived in Cavendish Square, the bootmaker was nowhere to be seen. "No sign of him," I commented.
"Apart from those splashes of dubbin and blacking on the pavement."
Sidney Grice swept his cane over a wide area.
"Or the scratch on the railing where he sometimes hung his placard."
"Apart from those," I conceded.
"Or the snapped twig where he pushed his trolley into the rhododendron bushes,"
Mr. G continued. "I meant there is no sign that he is here," I snapped, and Mr. G grunted.
"Why would there be when he is not?"
My guardian appeared to be checking his chin for a beard. A hansom pulled up, the horse shying at something I could not see or hear, and Inspector Pound leapt out.
"Good afternoon, Mr. Grice. Your telegram sounded urgent."
"A telegram has no sound other than the rustle of paper or a swish if it is dropped, and perhaps a light pat as it lands, depending upon the surface which interrupts its trajectory, or..."
"Excuse me interrupting your trajectory,"
the inspector said.
"Good afternoon, Miss Middleton."
"Inspector?" I shook his hand and felt him give mine a squeeze. "I trust you are well?"
"Of course, if it alighted upon water, ranging from a puddle to an ocean,"
my guardian spoke over him,
"the sounds would be very different, but never urgent."
"I am very well, thank you, Miss Middleton."
George winked at me.
"I hope you are too."
He had a new suit on and looked very smart.
"Miss Middleton made a semblance of that ignorant blunder regarding my doorbell when I made the uncharacteristic mistake of admitting her into my invigorating household,"
Mr. G droned on. "We think we may have identified the murderer," I said.
"We?"
my guardian queried.
"Oh, I suppose Miss Middleton does serve one purpose.
She proposes so many ridiculous explanations that the only one left must be correct. Unless you are going to arrest my ward, Inspector, I suggest you release her at your earliest convenience.
We let go of each other's hands.
So who and where is your suspect, Mr. Grice?
George Pound asked.
Two obvious, though pertinent, questions.
My godfather almost complimented him.
To which I have, as yet, no veracious response.
There is a bootmaker who usually stands on that corner around this time, I explained. And we think he may be the culprit, but it is possible I have frightened him away. I stood on tiptoe and whispered in his ear.
If only the other women had possessed your ability to terrify him,
Mr. G. commented dryly.
Well, apart from the polish, branch and scratch and the smell of trimmed leather, there is no sign of him now,
Pound declared.
What smell?
Mr. G. snuffled about like a bloodhound.
Oh, it is quite distinctive,
Pound said airily.
Is that flower seller usually here?
The girl stood on the opposite corner, short and slight, in a patched dress much too big for her, a forlorn sight with her tray of unsold forget-me-nots. Yes, I said.
Which is one of my six motives for engaging her in friendly banter.
Sidney Grice set off towards her at a brisk pace.
You there, juvenile female floral purveyor.
The girl looked over in alarm.
Be no more afraid than you ought to be,
my godfather sought but failed to reassure her.
For I intend you no harm, though my intentions may transmogrify as our intercourse progresses.
The girl let out a squeak, but it would have been more than her life was worth to put down her tray and run.
It's all right, Inspector Pound's voice rang out reassuringly. We just want to talk to you.
The flower girl hopped from one foot to the other. We were just wondering, I told her as we drew close, where the bootmaker is today.
Blimey, the girl gasped. I thought you was going to ask where I stealed these flowers from.
Pound picked up a wilting nosegay.
Do you know where he is now?
He asked gently.
That last word was tautologous,
my godfather informed him pleasantly.
If somebody is somewhere, they must be there at the present time.
What, old Bootsy? The girl grinned. Oh, he's a laugh.
That does not even meander vaguely in the direction of a reply,
Sidney Grice scolded.
In what way? I asked. Well, like the way he threw that hammer down, she guffawed. And one time he got me to spill rubbish over some posh foreign geezer's boots just so he could clean them up and not even charge him. Mind you,
she spluttered in mirth,
he cut off one of the gent's waistcoat buttons. Don't think he knew I saw that.
I do not think you would be here if he did, Mr. G. mumbled.
I could do with a good laugh, Inspector Pound mused. Do you know where he is now?
The girl looked about, and her voice dropped.
He ain't in no trouble, is he?
Of course not, I lied, before my guardian broke in with the truth. It's just that I have a loose heel and I can't walk very far.
Didn't no gentry like yourselves walk very far anyways, she bantered.
George Pound put the nosegay back and selected a pink carnation.
How much is this?
The girl assessed her customer, and no doubt his clothes at least doubled the price.
Them's a penny each, she declared.
Outrageous.
He sniffed the petals.
It must be worth at least threepence.
And he slipped her a silver coin.
You can have six for that, she told him.
I only need one, but I'll take a pin.
He smiled and presented the flower to me with a slight bow.
Have you seen him today?
I fastened it to my dress.
Oh, yeah,
the flower girl sniggered.
Comes without his cart this morning. Lord, but he's got a nerve. Got a fearful drought in me, I have, he says. See if I can't persuade a friendly skivvy to give me a bit of a cuppa and bit more of the other.
She cackled and nudged the chief inspector.
Bold as brass, straight to the front door he was, and he must be getting plenty of the other, the length of time he's been in there.
Did you notice which house he went in?
Pound asked casually.
That one,
she pointed.
Amber House,
I said in alarm.